Storyboard is a presentation of Isaac Pabbi. Contents featured on this podcast are created and produced by Isaac Pabbi and colleagues. Hello, good evening. Night up again. As you know, the name is Isaac, and it's been a while, I know. I made this trailer about some weeks ago. I said I was going to start Nightcap, and I haven't been able to blah blah blah, but now I'm here. That is the most important thing. I am here, and we are going to have our first segment. Our first episode, of course, filled with segments, and we jump right in. So as I said in my trailer, we are going to have segments like inspiration, news, article review and reflection, book review, and also relationship tips. So yeah, it's going to be fun. This podcast really is a way to wrap up my evening, as I have gone through the day, as of course you have also gone through the day, I'm sure. Whether you are going to listen to it daytime or evening, there is something about going through the day and being able to come home to yourself, you know, whether you are single or even if you have a family, and sometimes you just want to spend time alone with yourself. Yeah, it's just this thing about retreating. I don't know if it's just the word. You retreat, you know, you pull back, and you just try to have some alone time. That is what I'm trying to say. You have some alone time, and it's always good to do that with some good information. Also, sometimes in the background, you know, as you sit quietly, you are listening to something that is positive, that is inspirational, and in some way just fills you up in a good way for you to retire to bed and wake up and face the day again another day. So this is why I created this podcast, just to give me that avenue to retreat, and yeah, hopefully as you listen, you'll also find it inspirational, you also find it useful. So for our very first episode, it's something inspirational. I got it from social media, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, marriage is hard, divorce is hard, choose your heart. Building relationships is hard, being alone is hard, choose your heart. Being broke is hard, getting money is hard, choose your heart. Being unhealthy is hard, being in shape is hard, choose your heart. So essentially, nothing comes easy in this life, and for everything there is a sacrifice to be made. So you have to be prepared to make that sacrifice. And yeah, you choose what you are going to sacrifice for. I mean, there was some time ago, I also listened to this quote I came across. We are going to suffer for something. Just make sure that you are choosing what is worth suffering for, you know. Just make sure you are choosing something that is worth suffering for. And so I think it's in that same light. Everything can be had. Everything has a price. And you have to choose what price you are going to pay. You can't pay for every price. But certainly, you have to pay for something. So whether it's a decision you are trying to make, whether it's some choices you have to make at work, there is something, there is a price to pay for every gain. And yeah, we all have to face that and make that choices. So this is my inspiration for the evening. Choose your heart and make sure that it's worth it. So yeah, we will jump right in also again to do the news articles. Today I came across some news articles today, and I think a lot of COVID stuff, but I mean, that is where we are right now in this world. So hey, bear with me. I just want us to keep up, to be updated, so that we know exactly what we are doing. So the first article I got from graphic.com.gh, almighty graphic. The first article says COVID-19, over 200,000 vaccinated in Ghana in 6 days. Quite impressive. I'm yet to still get my vaccine, I hope it's soon. But we really also need to have a conversation about that. I think that conversation should have happened before the vaccines came into the country. What to really inform people's decision to take or not take the vaccine, that conversation. But right now it's here, and it looks like all the religious groups and all the social groups and everybody is rallying towards it, you know, as much as possible, just encouraging everyone to take the vaccine. So yeah, I think that is what is happening now. That is the conversation. But it says over 2,000 people in Ghana have been vaccinated against the deadly coronavirus disease in the last 6 days. As of Sunday, March 7th, 2021, at 8 p.m., a total of 202,250 people have had their first dose of the AstraZeneca vaccination. Now that's some terrible reading I just did. But anyway, the Director General of the Ghana Health Service, Dr. Patrick Kuma Abuaje, made this known on Monday afternoon at the press briefing at the Pedwaso Lodge, where the cabinet is in a three-day retreat. The doctor indicated that the figure was likely to go up since there are some data entry challenges and that about a third of the number is still being entered. He projected that the figure was likely to hit 3,000 when all the data is entered. He said that there has been enthusiasm with the vaccination. At some point, the personnel had to resort to collecting data on paper and getting the people vaccinated. And as the data is being entered electronically and synced, the figure was likely to shoot up. That was very incoherent. I don't know what they were trying to say there. But the COVID-19 vaccination started in Ghana on March 2021. Okay, so this is what we have: over 2,000 vaccinated in Ghana in 6 days. I think it's impressive. As I said, it looks like all the groups we have in Ghana, everybody is rallying and encouraging their members to get themselves vaccinated. So it's a good push. But I wonder what some of the conversations are when it comes to people who don't want to be vaccinated. I've not spoken to okay some time ago I spoke to an Uber driver. I just made a conversation. I was going to see a friend, so the car was quiet, and I had to talk. I wanted to say something, so I started the conversation, and I asked him. In between the conversation, we got to this vaccines coming in, and he was like, he won't take it because he doesn't think it has gone through enough trials, so it's something that he's going to hold back on. And I am sure that most people who are not willing to take the vaccine at this point also have similar reasons. But of course, there are people who are just not enthused about it, probably because it's just they have all these religious reasons and conspiracy theories about some power somewhere bringing all kinds of forces. And yeah, so whether you are taking it or not, personally, I will take it. Yeah, definitely. So I really even wish that I've already taken it, so that I know that it's the right thing to do for myself. Okay, so let's move on to the next story. Okay, I picked this story for my joint online. Let me read it to you. It says that, spare me, my internet is still trying to open the website. Is that the right thing? Yeah, and this story is in education. It says 41,953 students were disqualified for school placement. CSSPS coordinator. Okay, some 41,359 students who wrote the basic education, who wrote the basic examination certificate, exam BEC, were disqualified for school placement. Max Asumens, the National Coordinator of the Computerized School Selection and Placement System, said the affected students were disqualified on grounds that they had incomplete results. Either you fail or had grade 9 in any of the core subjects, especially English and mathematics, Dr. Sasumensa explained. His comment came on the back of the release of the school placement for students who wrote the BEC and are hoping to enter into various high schools. However, some students could not meet the criteria. Thus, they could not be placed either in schools or their choices or in any school at all. Mr. Sasumensa further explained that students who registered for all subjects but could not sit to write all of them, especially math and English, who were also disqualified. Okay. Yep, so this computerized system and education in Ghana now, especially, I haven't been following the junior high school calendar for a while, so I find this interesting. And even though I haven't been following the junior high school calendar for a while, because I mean, you move on, you know, once you move past that stage, sometimes you just move on. But I also find this headline interesting, because I'm thinking about the kind of system we have in place that allows 41,953 students to be disqualified. And there's something that comes with being disqualified. It just doesn't end there. There's this whole thing about opportunity, you know, your way forward, and whether how that even affects you. How do we, you know, be in a country and we are comfortable with disqualifying 41,953 students who are just also beginning, who are just, you know, they are young people and they are now growing into themselves. They are not growing in, getting into themselves as young adults. And if the first thing they have to, one of the first things they have to face in their life, you know, is to be disqualified from something because, you know, it's quite harsh. And also, are they going to continue? You know, some people can just easily get discouraged, and for them, that ends it. I think that as a country, there are better ways to approach this kind of situation when it feels like a student hasn't passed a subject and we have to help them move forward, do something about it. There are better ways to, we have to begin to figure out other ways to approach dealing with students who seem to not make their mark, you know, than just disqualifying them and allowing, and some way somehow they are going through all kinds of stress and they are feeling like, I'm not good enough, you know, probably, and they just quit. This is not the best way. We can do better, and we should figure it out. I really can't give any answers right now, so don't ask me. But I mean, we have leaders in charge, and they should know that disqualifying students and killing their zeal, you know, it's not the way to go. There are better ways of figuring this out. So, yeah, we should figure it out. Okay, and that brings me to the end of the news article review segment. Go for a quick breather, and I will be back. Yeah, so I'm back. Hello. So for my reflective and self-care segment, I have an article on journaling for mental health, and it's an article published on the University of Rochester Medical Center website. And I mean, if you know me, you know that I'm big on mental health. If you don't have a healthy relationship with yourself and also with your mind, you know, I don't think you're going to have a fruitful life. So I encourage all of us to seek heaven, a better mental health relationship, you know, with ourselves. If I'm saying it, I just hope you get the point I'm trying to make. Make sure that you are having a healthy mental relationship with yourself, and it will help you. And of course, one way to do that is through journaling. So I came across this article. I'm going to read briefly to you, and you get the point I'm trying to make. When you were a teenager, you might have kept a diary hidden under your mattress. It was a place to confess your struggles and your fears without judgment or punishment. It likely felt good to get all of those thoughts and feelings out of your head and down on paper. I remember one time I was having a conversation with a friend, and this journaling came up, and I told her that, yeah, I do journal. And she was like, oh, okay. I don't journal. I like to keep everything in my head. I mean, she just said that, and I just, it's so funny. I like to keep everything in my head. I don't like to leave any kind of information anywhere. Pieces of information that I want to keep to myself, I don't want to leave them anywhere. So everything is in my head. But of course, that's terrible. So the world seemed clearer. You may have stopped using a diary once you reached adulthood, but the concept and its benefits still apply. Now it's called journaling. It's simply writing down your thoughts and feelings to understand them more clearly. And if you struggle with stress, depression, or anxiety, keeping a journal is a great idea. It can help you gain control of your emotions and improve your mental health. Journaling benefits. One of the ways to deal with your overwhelming emotion is to find a healthy way to express yourself. This makes a journal a useful tool in managing your mental health. Journaling can help you manage anxiety, reduce stress, cope with depression. Journaling helps control your symptoms and improves your mood by helping you prioritize problems, fears, and concerns. Tracking any symptom day to day so that you can recognize triggers and learn ways to better control them. Providing an opportunity for positive self-talk, yes, and identifying negative thoughts and behaviors. I you know, one thing I do when I'm journaling, sometimes when I write something down, and it's so emphatic for me, like it hits me so hard, and it speaks directly and exactly to how I'm feeling, I underline it twice. And when I underline it twice like that, I feel like this is exactly what I wanted to express. This is exactly what I wanted to get out of my system. And I feel so at ease. I feel that, yes, I have let it out, and it's no longer haunting me. It is no longer making me feel the pressure I was feeling or the concern I was feeling about whatever it was. So, yeah, that's one testimony I can give about that point. Once you write it down, it feels like you've just let it go. But I've always also had a challenge with going back and reading your journal. I don't do that. I remember one time I picked and I read some parts of my journal, and they were so insightful. And I was like, why don't I come back to this often? And I was like, oh no, it's not something I like to do, because whenever I spew out, you know, I spew out those concerns, for the lack of a better word, spew out those concerns, I feel like going back to them is more like going back to my own vomit. You know, I spew out the worries and the whatever, and then I go back and read them. No. So once I'm able to get them out of my body, I shut the journal and I'm done. I don't look at it again. I don't touch it. I don't do anything to it. I just move on to a fresh page the next day or the next time I come back to my journal. Nothing. I don't touch it again. So I'm just going to wrap up this article. When you have a problem and you are stressed, keeping a journal can help you identify what is causing that stress or anxiety. Once you've identified your stressor, you can work on a plan to resolve the problem and reduce your stress. Keep in mind that journaling is just one aspect of a healthy lifestyle for better managing stress, anxiety, and mental health conditions. To get the most benefits, be sure to also relax and meditate daily. Okay, so The next time, I think it's going to be meditation. I started meditating recently, and it's been wonderful. I have so much to share on that. So yeah, so relax and meditate each day. Eat healthy, balanced diet. Exercise regularly. Get in some activity every day. Treat yourself to plenty of sleep each night. Stay away from alcohol and drugs. Use your journal to make sure you follow these guidelines daily. So yeah, how to journal. Try to write every day. Set aside a few minutes every day to write. This will help you to write in your journal regularly. Make it easy. Keep a pen and paper handy at all times. Then when you want to write down your thoughts, you can. You can also keep a journal in a computer file. I don't really like that. I like the pen and paper. I feel like the pen and paper is good for me. I prefer the pen and paper. Write whatever you feel right. Your journal doesn't need to follow any certain structure. It's your own private place to discuss whatever you want. Let the words flow freely. Don't worry about spelling mistakes exactly, or what other people might think, because nobody's going to read it, except you are hoping that, of course, you leave it somewhere for someone to pick your journal. But no, use your journal as you see fit. You don't have to share your journal with anyone. If you do want to share some of your thoughts with trusted friends and loved ones, you could show them parts of your journal. Okay, so that is it for the self-care segment. Reflection self-care segment. It's all about journaling, and you should do it daily or as much as you feel the need to. I don't journal daily. What I'm trying to do daily is keep a different journal for gratitude. That's what I want to keep. I'm trying to do daily, but to just write down some thoughts and also concerns that come up for me. I don't do that daily. I think I do it when the concern hits so hard, or when whatever I'm feeling hits so hard. Suddenly I pick my journal. I know that this has to be written down. No, because if I cannot process it internally, then it has to come out. It has to come out. And the best way I do that is through my journal. So yeah, thank you for listening to this segment. We'll take a short breather again, and I will come back with a blog or book review segment. Yep, I'm back. Okay, so this is the last but one segment, and this is the blog or book review segment. And for this week, I am going to be reviewing my own blog. Yeah, and this is the first segment of, hey, I need to review my own blog. So, my blog is Storyboard. You can find it at isaacpabi.com. isaacpabi.com. Isaac is Isaac, ISAAC, and Pabi is PARBUI.com. So you can find Storyboard at isaacpabi.com. And Storyboard is really, it's a literary blog. I write creative stuff, so you can find all my creative writing there, most of my creative writings there, from poetry to creative features to short proses. You know, you can find a lot of my creative pieces there. I've also published in newspapers, which I'm trying to get back to. So I'm trying to get back to my my newspaper contacts. I feel like I have abandoned them for a while, but I'm trying to get in touch with them again, so I can hopefully get something into the newspaper. But in the meantime, you can always visit my blog to read something, which of course is a priority for me. You should read from my blog. I have real good stuff here. I have poetry. I recently wrote a poem. Let me read a poem to you, and hopefully it will encourage you to visit my blog and see the other contents that I have. So the poem is titled Words in Grammar's Eyes. And it says, here I sit in the darkness of the night, looking into my grammar's eyes. I see myself. Here I sit in the darkness of the night. My heart is beating, telling me, do the best you can. The lineage from which you come, the sacred crown that you wear, the throne on which you sit, they were sculpted from the bleeding of her back. Do the best to honor her. My grandma sits, looking deeply into my eyes. Love veiled, warmth is all I see. The roofing she left behind is still the coven from the. Is still my coven from the cold. My grandma sits. I see the fear in her eyes. I see the tears in your eyes. I see it all. I see you do the best you can. My grandma's eyes telling me she'll always love me. That's some terrible reading, but I guess if you go to the blog, you read the poem and realize it's a good one. This I didn't do a very good job with, but when you read it yourself, you see that it's a great poem. And I wrote this poem, I came across my grandma's picture. My grandma has passed, yeah. I think in 2018, and I just came across a picture, and as I looked at it, I felt the words just shower me. So I picked a pen and paper, and I just scribbled them down. You know, I felt like her eyes and her face, they were just speaking to me. So I wrote the words down. And I have more creative pieces like this on my blog. You should visit the blog and check it out. And I've recently published a book. So yeah, you will see the pre-order link. You will see the blurb of the book. A great story about what support looks like, you know, what real support looks like in this world. There are times that people will support you, or people intend to support you, or you know, or you feel that you need support, and you may get it or you may not get it. But when you get it in the way that is right, when support shows up in the most authentic state for you, there is an impact that it makes on your life that changes. You know, it changes you, it changes your situation. You may get some kind of support, but at the end of the day, you still find yourself in the same, I don't want to use the word shit, you know, in the same shit that you were in. You really find that, I'm still in it. Really nothing has changed. But when support comes in the right way for you, there's this change that it brings, a positive change that it brings, and that is really the intention behind the story, really, to let you know that, just to express these thoughts. So I'm just going to read a blurb. Saving Rainbow tells the story of a children's home in dire need of support, and the four women who are dared to make a difference in spite of their own circumstances. Mamefo is the manager of the charity home going under. All her efforts to secure corporate support are proven futile, and it looks like her fears will win. Sedem is a 27-year-old rising music star, a career she feels she has sacrificed too much for, even a relationship with her mother. But her world is asking for more, and she's afraid she has nothing left to give. Coco is strikingly gorgeous, a 32-year-old lawyer in a toxic relationship with a charismatic young millionaire. Coco knows she's not in the best situation, but her willingness to leave him is non-existent. Esiko is modest, a 29-year-old teacher who senses a greater purpose on her life. She is conflicted as to exactly what it is and how she can bring it into fruition. This work of fiction is exciting and easy to read. It will engage readers from start to finish, inspire contemplations, and stimulate conversations afterwards. I mean, it's a must read. These characters are juicy, they are alive, they are authentic, you know. They are everyday people. They are you. You know, you find yourself in some toxic relationship and you're wondering, how do I get out of this mess? And yet everything else is also pulling you back and keeping you there. This character will speak to you. Or maybe you are Mamefo who has a noble idea and you want to do something to support people, and yet it feels like your circumstances are not adding up. So you find yourself stranded and you are wondering, what is going to happen? What is going to happen? Can I fulfill this vision I want to do for this person? Can I fulfill this dream? The plots of this story are real stuff. So visit my blog, and or you can call my line 02403-9171, and I will get in touch with you as soon as possible, and a book will be delivered to you. Or you can visit Challenge Bookshop at Kokomlemle in Accra and you'll pick your copy. I mean, I'll be distributing to other bookshops very soon, so the list will be growing. So this is the book or blog review segment. Thank you for listening. Let's go for another breather, and I'll be back with the last segment, which is the relationship problem or article. I am back. To wrap this up, it's been an experience for a first segment. So yeah, you tell me what you think when you listen. But for our last segment, it's a relationship. Hey, and we are all relationship people, right? So yeah, I got this article from success.com, and it says 7 things all great relationships have in common, written by Karen Gately. And so let me read the article to you, and then we'll go through the 7 things all relationships have in common. It says, you know those relationships that drain your energy? The ones that impact your ability to really thrive at home, at work, in life. There are consequences of enduring them and falling to face up to reality. There are consequences of enduring them and failing to face up to reality that something is just not right. And while there's no point pretending a relationship has a future if it doesn't, it's just as important to recognize when relationships are right, when they are worth investing in. Okay? So whether it's with your children, your spouse, your parents, or your friends, or your co-workers, here are 7 signs of a good, healthy relationship. And the first one is trust. Great relationships are built on a foundation of trust. Okay? Something that takes time to build and is hard to regain once it's lost. Without trust, relationships of every kind will fail. You know you trust each other when you feel safe, comfortable, open, close. It's reflected in your willingness to listen to the tough stuff and learn from it. The second one is openness. You express yourself openly and honestly. No topic is off limits. Both parties feel heard. You engage in honest and respectful conversations that allow you to understand one another and build a genuine connection. When you have problems and concerns, you share them directly and not with other people. You never complain or criticize each other. Okay? Behind each other's back. So the third one is respect. So we have done trust, openness, and respect now. And respect says that both parties recognize that neither of you is perfect. You accept each other the way you are. Too often, we focus on what we expect or hope people will be. And while it's important to recognize how people can grow or learn, holding on to who you expect someone to become will inevitably lead to disappointment and frustration. So the fourth one is teamwork. To make the relationship in your life work, you and the other person both have to do your part, because it takes two to tango. You make decisions together and listen to each other's concerns and preferences. You bring your ideas and opinions together and remain open-minded to one another's point of view. You work with mutual respect and trust to achieve what you each need. The fifth one is joy. Healthy relationships are energized by laughter, by fun. Whilst you can't expect anyone to be happy every minute of the day, good relationships uplift your spirit and make you feel loved and accepted. Most people are capable of frustrating or annoying us at times, but what matters is the ability to move past petty disagreements and look for reasons to enjoy each other's company. The sixth one is kindness. You treat each other with care, consideration, and compassion. You are friendly and speak with warmth and consideration. You are generous towards each other. When you choose to invest in the needs of others, the impact is significant. And the last one, of course not the least, is forgiveness. Holding on to baggage weighs heavily on any relationship. Resentment, disappointment, and frustration, when left unresolved, erode trust and drain your spirit. You know you have a great relationship when you are able to express how you feel and let it go. You are able to forgive shortcomings and failings. You support one another. You learn from experiences you face and move on. This is a beautiful article. It's short, it's sweet, as one of my friends would say, it's short and sweet, and it's easy to imbibe. I mean, doing what it says is something else, but just being able to run through them, you feel like, oh yeah. I mean, if I had all these in my relationship, I know I'll be a kind person, a good person. So let me just quickly go over the points. The seven things all great relationships have in common. The first one is trust. The second is openness. The third is respect. The fourth is teamwork. The fifth is joy. The sixth is kindness. And the seventh is forgiveness. And on this note, I round up the very first episode of Nightcap. It's been fun just listening to myself read and engaging, and hope that when you also listen, you will feel engaged as much as I have felt here. Thank you. My name is Isaac, and good night.